Olive Baptist Church exists to develop fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That is why we are here, to develop people to follow after Christ. And with that, we have four core values. You've seen those all this month. Seeking to know God, we worship. Connecting people with the message of Christ, we do evangelism. Equipping people to walk with Christ, that's discipleship. And then we come today to that fourth and last of those four core values, and that is that we share God's love by serving others. That is service. Some would call that ministry, but really ministry is the whole, the overarching word in the New Testament for what the church does. And so we come today to service. So I invite you to take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and then we'll go to Matthew 5 and verse number 13. So in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, you see those verses coming up on the screen, and I'm going to ask you, please, that you rise with the pastor right now, and I want us to read the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. So let's read with all gusto right here. Here we go. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now leave that verse right there. Look at verse number 12. It's for the equipping. We saw that last week. It's discipleship, where we equip people, like we mend nets, like we restore. You remember that message. If you didn't hear it, you know, get a copy. It's online. You can listen. And so we equip saints. How many saints I got here this morning? Some of you in doubt. The Bible says if you're saved, you're a saint, all right? So how many saints I got here this morning? Okay, a few people got saved right there during the early part of the message. Amen. All right, for the equipping of the saints, that's the saved, for the ergon is the word, ergon. That means labor, work. That's stuff to be done. You got to lift the load. And it's the work of, what's that word? Service. Now, guess what that word is in the Greek New Testament? Diakoneo. We get our word deacon from that. In your worship guides, you'll see today you can begin to nominate deacons. Hear me. Don't dare nominate if they're not ergon. If that man's not working, don't write his name down. Don't care how much money he's got. How much you think of him. A deacon serves and works. I said a deacon serves and works. Now that's what you write down there. There are other qualifications, but this. Now let me tell you a little secret. While everybody in here is supposed to be a saint, everyone in here ought to be a diakoneo. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks of deacon in the masculine, and it speaks of the deaconess in the feminine. That's ladies who serve and men who serve. Everybody's to work. Everyone is to serve. So we come to service today, this fourth. We share God's love by serving others. Now, over in the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon you'd ever read or hear, Jesus, in chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel, begins with the Beatitudes. Blessed, 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 blessed. Some people translate that happy. It is the inner working of the Spirit of God within. It's anointing is really what it is. Blessed, the touch of God, the happiness and the joy of God. It's the inner working. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the persecuted. And then he comes to that great illustration and the words that the liberals love to use. In Matthew 5 and verse 13, and it's where I'm going to preach from this morning. Listen to what the Word of God says. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Then he goes into the illustration of light. You're the light of the world. We're not going to preach about that today. We're just going to preach about being salty. Salty. You are the salt of the earth. You, the church. We, the people of God. Those that are ergon diakoneo, those that are working as deacons and deaconesses. Male, female, that are working the work of God, you are salt. But what in the world does salt do? Well, you know the answer. We could make a long list. Salt heals. It cleanses. Melts ice. Eliminates stains. If you gargle it in water, it's good for a sore throat. It'll help your tired feet. If you turn an ankle, you put it in that salty water. It flavors food. Amen? It preserves. Will not let meat rot. You could go on and on and on. Salt. Salt. You are the... I ask you how many saints, and some of you finally repented. I ask you about these. But now I want you to understand, you're not just saints, and you're not just diaconate. You are salt. You're salt. Everybody in here, if you're saved, you are salt. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about being salty. So, had you rather be preached to standing or sitting? Some of you are already voting, so go ahead and be seated. It is a powerful, powerful word that Jesus gives us. You are the salt of the earth. Being salty requires three things in our life. Now, there may be more, but this morning I want to show you three things that if you're going to be salt, it's going to require this. Number one, if you're going to be salt, it requires anointing. Anointing. See, he comes right out of the Beatitudes. He begins in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Verse 5, the gentle. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you. He says to rejoice. And all of that, blessed, 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 blessed. That's the inner working of God. And then he says, when you are blessed people, you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt. Dear friend, if you're going to be salt, you must have an ungrieved spirit. It's the favor of Almighty God on your life, in you, and through. Because if you do not have the favor of God, if you have a grieved spirit, he says that you will become tasteless. I want you to look at that verse. You are the salt of the earth. So let's read a little differently. You're the salt of the earth, but if you have become tasteless, how can you be made salty again? You are no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. A little different translation, isn't it? If you're salt, amen, but if you become tasteless, how do you become tasteless? You lose the anointing. There comes this contamination. And you're not tasty salt. You've lost the anointing because of contamination. Now that was the illustration of Jesus' day. They would throw it out on the road. What would happen is that they still had some saltiness in it, but it was contaminated with this white powder. It looked like salt.
It felt like salt, but it was not salt.
You can look like a Christian. You can dress like a churchman. Yet you have lost your tastefulness. It's called hypocrisy. Now, this is the problem with the liberals in our culture. If you want to see this text in a liberal context, read the Pensacola News Journal this morning. Andy Marlett is a world-renowned cartoonist. Now, cartoon people, drawers, is that their word? Artists, they use satire. And they're funny. They've drawn me. You ought to see this face in an editorial cartoon. They always make your nose big or your ears or, you know, whatever that is a little bit. Then they just blow that up, you know. But you can tell who it is. But our world-renowned cartoonist has become also an editorial writer. Not all cartoonists are good writers. Just like not all pastors are good preachers and not all preachers are good pastors. Andy writes this morning, about the things that Christians do. And he says that Republicans find more Christianity in Bernie Sanders, but it troubles them because he's not only a Democrat, but he's a socialist. And he speaks to the issues and he names them, the homeless and the hungry, and he begins to name. But now, listen to me. Listen to your pastor. You cannot be salt just by doing good. Doing good must be coupled with the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you do not get to the gospel, your goodness is not good. It's just the Civitan Club. And Olive is not the Civitan, nor the Rotary, as good as those are. I've been members of both of them. But just doing good is a liberal's agenda of touching. We should do good. We must do good. Jesus called us to do good. We got to do it. But we dare not. Dare not. Forget the blessing, 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 blessing. Anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. It is that ungrieved spirit. It is the power of the gospel. Because if all Olive does is doing good for the homeless and the poor and fighting racism and taking care of widows and the disabled, we've missed the ultimate mark. Now, there's another side to this. There are people who want to be salt, but they never get to the poor, and they never get to the homeless, and they never get to the disabled, and they never speak to racism, and all they do is they just want to talk about the gospel. Let me tell you, friend, you cannot divorce yourself from those good works things and continue to be salt. It's not either or, it's both and. It's who Jesus called us to be. Being salty requires an anointing. A dead to yourself, alive to Him, and in the inner man, there comes this power through us of the Spirit of God.
Number one, if you're going to be salty, it requires an anointing. Number two, being salty requires action. Action. You have an anointing, and now there is something to do. What is it that we do? Well, we touch the poor in Jesus' name. We touch the homeless in Jesus' name. We fight racism in Jesus' name. We help the widow in Jesus' name. We help the orphan in Jesus' name. We help the disabled in Jesus' name. We feed the hungry in Jesus' name. We pay light bills for those who are unemployed in Jesus' name. We have action. Salt requires action. Now, in the front of your worship guide today, it says at Olive. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to preach to the church, and then we're going to have 5 weeks of celebration. And we're going to look back and look forward, look back and look forward. And here is the outline for us. A week from Sunday, we're going to have I Love My Church Day. We're going to talk about Olive. We're going to love ourselves. Amen. It's a good place. Over 120 years worth of it. We're going to talk about the good things God's done here. Not going to puff ourselves up and be proud, but we're going to celebrate the goodness of God. Skip the 11th, and then we go to the 18th. We're going to love our world. On that Sunday, the 18th of October, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention is going to be our preacher that morning. Dr. Ronnie Floyd from Springdale, Arkansas, will be here, and he's going to help us, and he's going to brag on you about the amount of money you've been given to the cooperative program. He's going to talk about reaching the world with the gospel. I've asked him to come and do that for us. And then on the 25th, we're going to love our nation. We're going to talk about America. We're going to talk about electing the right people. We're going to talk about calling America to revival. We're going to call ourselves to prayer and fasting. Matter of fact, that's the 25th. And oh, that morning, we're going to celebrate around the... You know, today we celebrate around the Lord's Supper table, John, on the 25th, and we're going to celebrate that day and have a great prayer emphasis on the 25th. The next Sunday is my 25th anniversary as your pastor on November 1st, and they're planning a day. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything going on. I got a bunch of people hiding out in the bushes and planning stuff, and I've been run out of more meetings in the last 2 weeks than I've ever been run out of since I've been the pastor of this church. Pastor, you need to go do something. We're going to talk about you. And so we're going to have a fun day that night, that morning and that night. And I'm planning to preach unless somebody makes me not do it. So I'm planning. And we're going to celebrate the 25-year anniversary of the pastor. But on the 11th of October, I want you to go back because this is the point of this morning's message. In the middle of all that, we're going to do I Love My Community. And this is how we're going to show that. We're going to serve Escambia and Santa Rosa County. Now, I have in front of me right here a planning sheet. We're asking every connection group. Sunday school class. So if you're a teacher or a director, I want you to rise to your feet right now. If you're a connection group teacher or a department leader, I want you to stand up, all right? So they're popping up all over here. All right. Now, your name's on this sheet, all right? And I'm asking every class on the... We're not going to have church that night. I'm asking you to find a project and love our community. Now, a lot of them are... several of them say are being developed. But let me just tell you a few things that they're doing. Some of the folks are working with Samaritan's Purse. Some are going to pick up, this class is going to pick up trash on University and Davis that afternoon. They're going to clean the highway. One's going to have a baby shower for a mother over here at Bethany Christian. One group's going to serve the Florida Baptist Children's Home, feed the kids and have a day with them. One group's going to make food bags and cook out and distribute to the hungry and the homeless. On the other side, there's some making care packages, another group for the homeless. One group's going to work with the Miracle League down on Nine Mile Road. They're going to do theirs on Saturday. Some are working with Reimagine Montclair. couple others here being developed, and then we've got, you say, well, preacher, we're just not very creative. How do we do? We've got two projects that we're going to do, one of which, there is a cemetery downtown that we're going to clean that day, and we need some classes to get involved with that. I wasn't sure, Sharon, if you, yeah, there it is, the Mount Zion Historical Cemetery. That needs a lot of work downtown, and we've connected with them, and we're going to clean that cemetery up that afternoon, and so we need some groups to get involved and do that as we serve and bless our community. You can see they need trees trimmed, grass cut and edged, and just trash picked up. And then some of us are going to go across the street over here, and we're going to help Ferry Pass Elementary School. We have a standing relationship with them, and they need a lot of work done and around their building and different places, and we're going to go in and help in their vegetable garden on that Sunday afternoon. And so your class might want to get in on that. You could talk with Huey Pearson, you could talk with Stan Lawler, and we can't have every class go over there, but some classes that have not found their place yet. Hear me, church, we're not just going to talk about being servants of the community, we're going to do it. And so that afternoon, we're going to go to work. So get your group together, your leadership, and get creative and ask God, what is it? How can you serve our community? That's what we're talking about doing. That we serve. If you're going to be salt, it demands, but it requires action. Action. Ready, set, action. We don't just talk about it. We're going to plug in and do something. Thank you. You can be seated. I encourage you, lead your group and find your place. Now, many of you sit in this room, and you're not a part of a small group. You're not plugged in. Well, number one, you ought to get plugged in to one of these connection groups. But you say, well, Pastor, I've just not done that, and I may not by then. Find you a place. Do you know you can serve this community all by yourself? Get two or three groups together. And go serve the community that afternoon in some way. Just take off Sunday afternoon, the 11th day of October, and find a place to plug in and serve somebody, somewhere, practice being salt. Miss Judy stood down here this morning. You have responded so well in the preschool area, but I'm telling you, the children's area need some workers. They need servants on Wednesday night with the Awanas program. Chef Bob, did I see? Yeah, here's Chef Bob right over here. I got a picture. I was away Wednesday. I got a picture. You couldn't hardly get him in the gym Wednesday night. Of course, he served shrimp and grits over there Wednesday night. And every Baptist and Methodist and Catholic that knew they could get in came to eat Wednesday night supper, all right? I mean, they packed in there. And then they clean out that gym, and here comes that herd of, hey guys, hear me now. We got a revival of young families going on in this church. Most of them come to the next service. Not all. Some of them, but most of them come to the next service because they're in a small group right now. And there are kids everywhere. They told me down in the preschool area, they got 10 moms that are on the about to have birth list. And so that's the way you grow a Sunday school right there, all right? And here they come, and a couple of them are having them two at a time. So, amen, that's the way you grow. But all those kids, they grow up, and they get in our children's ministry. Hey, working with children's dirty work. Isn't that right, Miss Judy? Amen, you got everything in there. You got half of them coming from... Bro, did you know that 40% of the children in Escambia County live in a single-parent home? That was on the Studer Group dashboard in last Sunday's Pensacola News Journal. It's a little less over in Santa Rosa, so our two county areas less than, it's about 36% when you... But in our county, right here where we, 40%. And so you find most of those are mothers that have those children. And I'm telling you, they just need help. They need somebody to love on them and to encourage their kids. They're so, and that's where the church can, now hear me, don't lose the gospel when you begin to minister to that family. It requires action. You say, well, Pastor, I could be a helper. I could be a teacher in children's work. I could listen to kids quote verses on Wednesday night. Well, then come over there and see Judy and give her your name and your phone number and your address and email and how to get in touch with you. And quit sitting around on your blessed assurance and do something for the gospel's sake. Thank you. I knew there'd be one amen out there somewhere. We just need to engage. Now, there are people sitting in this room who have no business working with children. You're not physically able. It would not be your gifted area. But I'm telling you, God's got his people in this church to do that ministry. So we go into the community and we come into the church. Being salty requires anointing. Being salty requires action. But now number three, hear me quickly. Being salty requires application. Application. Well, what I mean by that is that the salt must be applied. Job 6:6, write it down. Job 6:6. That food without salt is tasteless. Job 6:6b speaks about the white of an egg. You ever eat egg whites with nothing in it? It's not much. You can feel it, you just can't taste it. You need to sprinkle a little. You got to apply. You got to permeate. You got to penetrate the food. Well, the same thing. This church, Olive's got to get out of the salt shaker. We must begin to permeate and penetrate the society in which we are in. When you go to the Word of God in Judges chapter 9 and verse 45, you find Abimelech. He's in Shechem. And Abimelech has overcome Shechem. And when Abimelech defeated the city of Shechem, the Bible says there in the book of Judges 9 and 45 that he razed the city, R-A-Z-E-D, razed the city, and he sowed their fields with salt. Two things sowing the field with salt did. Number one, it was a symbol that it was his, but number two, it was to say to them, you can't live here anymore because you can't grow anything until a long time passes because your fields are dead. This is the negative side of this teaching. This salt was penetrating and permeating into the culture. Now, Olive, we got to get out of this room. And we got to begin to get in to the culture. I had a young man, I stood right out here at the door a couple 3 weeks ago, and he said to me, Pastor, is there some way? He said, could we have a Christian business list? He said, I like to put my money with Christian business people. And I said as gently as I knew how, and he responded very kindly. I said, well, I have had that request many times, but I have never made a Christian Yellow Pages. Do you even know what Yellow Pages are? This crowd would. I mean, you remember when they used to be Yellow Pages? Now it's just all on your phone or the internet or whatever. But a Christian Yellow Pages is when you take all the Christian, everybody that's a Christian selling cars and you put them there, and everybody that's a Christian and running a grocery, you put all those in there. And I said, you know, that's good, and I do business with, but I said, you know, I really want my church also rubbing shoulders with some lost business people. And it's good to do business with that you trust and you know and. But I said, it's also good to get involved with some pagan people, unbelievers, and penetrate and permeate the culture. Because that conversation will come up when you can talk about the gospel and you can be salt.
I do business with believers and non-believers. So should you. You do. Now, I know those big items, you want people you trust, and I understand that. But when you walk in a grocery store and that young girl or boy is waiting on you at the cash register, I saw one this week. It's a long line of people. You know, there were 35 cash registers, and they had two of them open. You can guess where that was, but anyway. And there's a long line of people. And they were just bashing this girl and bashing this girl and you know, everybody, I could just see them when they walked up there. And there was a lady that walked up, and she had run in to get a case of water. And this lady got up to the cash register, and she said, "Sweetheart, how are you doing?" She said, "I'm having a tough day." And she reached in her plastic, and she said, "Would you like a water?" She's given the water to the lady that's selling the water to her. I said, "There's something salty about this right here." See, salt makes people thirsty. And that little girl took that and she said, "Oh, thank you. I don't have time to go get anything, and I'm really..." And she screwed the lid off of it, and they just had a conversation. And I thought, I think that's what Jesus is talking about. It's permeating the culture. Do you remember when Genesis 18 and Abraham is looking down at Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot is there? You remember? And God said, "Look out, boys, I'm fixing to burn her down." And Abraham goes into a dialogue with the Lord. And he says, "Father, if we just find 50 righteous men, remember? Would you spare it?" Yeah. Couldn't do it. "Oh, Lord, how about 40? Couldn't find them. 30, 20. Finally, he gets down to 10. 10. Now, I'm thinking that Abraham is counting Lot's family. Lot, wife, kids, grandkids. Surely, well, you know what Lot's wife did. She turned around and looked, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. Lot got out. I want you to listen. The first place you ought to be salt is at your house. See, some of you have taken your families into places you can't get them out because you didn't have any business going in. You better be sure, if you lead your family, that where you take them, God led you. Because if you lead in places that you don't have the grace to get them out, you've made a misstep. But mark this down. God will never, by His grace, place you somewhere that His sovereign grace will not empower you to make it through. If God placed you, I'm telling you, His power will give you the strength to follow through. You just got to be salt where you are. I got to thinking about this yesterday, and so I found a black cloth, as smooth and black as I could. And I sprinkled a little salt on it. And I made a picture of it. And I just watched that for, and I rubbed on it a little bit. Now you see all that right there? Those are not stars. Those are grains of salt. Now, if you gather up all of that's not a lot of salt, but if you just gathered all that up in a little pile and just popped it in your mouth, ooh. But now, if you took that and spread it on some potatoes, ooh, now we're in business. The key is scattering. Scattering. The salt has got to go, and then penetrate. Once you put it in, you don't even see it. You see, friend, when you become salt, people don't see you. But they feel your influence. They taste your difference. You preserve when you're salt. So here is what the fourth core value is. We're to share God's love by serving other people. Now the first thing you're going to have to do is get over wanting somebody to serve you. And you've got to begin to turn it outward to give to someone else. To give it away. And the greatest servant that ever lived was the King of Salt, who laid down his life for you. Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you. And if you would but call on his name, he'd save you. Dear friends, some of you sit in this very room today and you've never asked him to be your Savior, and you ought to do it today. Some of you have been going your own way, and you ought to go God's way, and that's coming through the church and being a part of the family of God. And today's the day you ought to be about that. So here's what we're going to do as we conclude in this early service. Brother John, come to the piano, and he's going to sing. I'm going to give the reverse invitation today. I'm going to the foyer, and I'm going to wait on you, and I need some encouragers to go out there with me. If you've never been saved today, I want you to come see me right out there in the foyer. If you've never joined this church and you ought to do it, then I want you to come right out there to the foyer and see me. I'll give you to encourager. They'll walk with you the quiet place. Some of you, God's calling this morning. He's wooing you to come. And so we're going to sing one stanza of a concluding song. And while we sing it, I'm going to walk past this camera and walk right out there in the foyer. And I'm going to stand there. Now, if you're here today and you want to talk to me, then stay away from me. Wait your turn. I got people coming to make decisions for the church and for Christ. Then if you got some silly story, I'll talk to you after that's done, okay? If you got something you just need to converse about, you're not deciding for Christ or the church, then just give me a little time. Can you help me with that? Well, after all, it's not about you. I'm glad to hear you. Glad to talk with you. But just let me have that invitation time right out there in the foyer for a few minutes. Because it'll take some people a little while to get to me. But sometimes they feel a little more comfortable just talking. And encouragers, now you come out there and stand close. You can help me today. It says, take my life and let it be. What's that word? Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days and let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my life and let it be salt, Lord, to thee. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. And if you have lost your saltiness, you are good for nothing but to be thrown underfoot. Friend, you want to know why the world is walking on and away from the church? Many in the family of God have become tasteless. And we've become a highway to nowhere. If we ever become the anointed people of God and have the saltiness of Jesus, my Lord and my God, they're going to say, I need what you got. If you're here without Christ today, please come see me right out there in the foyer. If you're here and you want to be a part of Olive, please come see me right out there in the foyer. We're going to sing one stanza, then John will just continue to play and we'll stand dismissed in this place. Coming back tonight in the faith service at 5:30, we'll have another glorious time together. I want you to join me right here. If you want to go to work in the children's division, don't come see me, go see Judy. Judy, why don't you just come out there with me and stand? There may be some people who want to talk to you out there, and Judy will be there with me. Two redheads in the foyer. You ought to decide for the Lord, if no other reason but from us. Two of us is a majority, I'm telling you, in Jesus' name, amen. So she'll help me and be right there. While we sing this song and when we go, then I want you to greet people all around you. I want you to get salty before you leave here. I want you to say, welcome, 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 welcome. Glad you're here. Good to see you today. I don't know your name. Hey, thanks for coming to Olive today. And just fellowship around the family of God and then make your way out to the invitation. We're on our feet, standing, singing one stanza, fellowshipping with each other, and coming to decide for Christ.